Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman's station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Spreaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio.
Oh, here we are. Okay, now look at that. And that's just regular.
So that's $12. What would you spend that $12 on if you didn't have to spend it on this?
Something to eat.
I think that's ridiculous, and I think it's too bloody expensive. There's people who can't afford it out there. I would use toilet paper wrapped up. At one time, I used to stick cotton balls on me, and I got an infection. And if I did get my hand on one tampon, I would keep it up there as long as I could. If I didn't have any of those, I'd take a lot of old socks and stuff them inside each other. And if worse came to worst, to get me to somewhere where I knew I could get a tampon, I would take a newspaper. And so I would like roll it up like this, but then you have to cup it so when you bleed, it doesn't roll off. And I used to get a lot of rashes because of, see, the corners of the paper. It would, like, dig into me. And then if I could get a hold of some toilet paper, I would wrap it around it. And then I take it and put it on the underwear and put it on. I really find it's way too expensive. Even now that I can afford it sometimes, it's still way too expensive.
Without a word of warning, the blues walked in this morning and circled around my lonely room. I didn't know why
this evening. Man, I just got really emotional and just eyes tearing up, you know, with everything that's going on Here at WAMRDB, the Woman Station, we'd like to pay homage to the legendary one and only Aretha Franklin. Yes, Demetria, what's your input? I know Aretha has influenced your life in so many ways.
This song that you're playing right now was one of the songs that I sang actually in one of the plays that I sang and that I performed in, and it was just as emotional listening to it now as when I was doing it back then. And she was one of my mom's favorites. She's one of my mom's favorites. And naturally, it was one of my mother's favorites. She's going to be mine because I heard it all the time, playing constantly in our home. And this, I've grown up listening to her. So I feel, you know, I'm just super emotional about this. And, you know, all of our greats, you know, they have to go soon. We don't want, we never ever want her to leave us. But, you know.
Right.
She is definitely the queen of soul. For sure.
I have to re-interject, and I do apologize. Listeners, we have listeners on the line. Well, we'd like to welcome the one and only three-time Grammy Award-winning Miss Demetria Bennett. I had just got overthrown, and I'm sorry. I do apologize. I just got a little emotional. Just, you know, I mean, I got overwhelmed right there, and then just had a moment. But we have three-time Grammy Award-winning Demetria Bennett in the house this evening on WAMRDB. Yes. Now,
hey, everybody.
Now, the producer pulled this one out of the hat for Omni. Now, this is you performing this song?
No, I performed this song for about 3 months in a show.
Yeah.
I did a play called Get Ready, and they chose this song for me, and I sang this song for 3 months.
Wow. Yes, indeed. You know, Aretha has influences. One of my influences, too. I mean, just coming up, I remember I used to hear my mother sitting there playing that album with her with the plaid coat on. One of my favorites was Bridge Over Troubled Water, as well as Spanish Harlem. So she's a phenomenal vocalist. And like you said, the greatest of the greats. You know, we had Whitney Houston, you know, Luther Vandross, and here, you know, the queen. The queen that's been doing it over 30, 40 years has put down more than 276 singles in her lifetime, if not more than that. So we have to give homage to her, most definitely. Yes, indeed. Well, tonight, continuing on with the show with WAMRDB, once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on this evening. And starting off, I'd just like to know, because I've been knowing you for quite some time on a personal level and professional level, beautiful person, but always giving back to the community. And one of my questions was, at what age did you know that you wanted to sing?
I think I knew I wanted to sing at age 4. My mother.
Excuse the background music. Okay.
There
we go. Okay.
At age 4.
I'm so sorry. I was. Okay. I'm sorry. That was. I was still stuck in
that. See how you doing?
Whole thing. I'm sorry. I didn't. I ain't messing with you, Divas, tonight. That's. I mean, and every time DeMonica bring one of her close friends on the phone, I just have to jump on here for just a second. So let me just ask this question: how long y'all been on each other?
Ooh.
For how long? Yeah. Okay. No, don't answer, because I can just. Oh, she knows where it's coming from. I said, DeMonica, you know, I really have a concept that I want to do. And this was November last year. And I was like, you know, I just want artists to just be able to come into a space that, you know, y'all just chopping it up because you guys know each other. Well, you know, I don't really know a lot of people, Karima, so I just have to think about it. Oh, every time Grammy winning artists and stuff pop up in here, Just like, it's all right. You know, it's all right. It's okay. Y'all just pop up in here. Y'all just, like, come up in this joint like it's all right. You know, I was just in a meeting. I was like, well, I got Aunt Nesby's daughter, you know, 3-time Grammy winning. Coming up, they looking at me like, what? And that's what I be doing. That's all. So my other thing is, I am an inspiring backup singer. So every time one of you all come on, I always put my bid in for the doo-wop part of the singing things. I'm trying, so when we get y'all down to the ATL, I'm trying to audition to be one of the doo-wop backup people.
Well, you can audition. So you can audition for my mama. You know, my mother lives
Wait.
Yeah, my mother.
No. My heart just started palpitating. No, I didn't say that. Wait a minute. I watched y'all on stage. You, Paris, and your mama would tear up the stage together, and everybody was just like, "What?" So I just no. I was trying to get on like the choir singing thing. You know, like to get between two good singers. So I can lip sync the thing, you know, the sound of the blackness thing. That's what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to be like, no, because your mom be like, baby, I'm going to need you to stick to engineering. You go right on over there. And you just stay right there. No, I'm trying to get in the choir, you know, like when they be singing. I know everybody in the sound of blackness cannot just sing like that. So I figured there's got to be a strayer, so you might need to. So that's all. That's all I got to say. I'm just sorry. But I'm just amazed that DeMonica always knows Grammy award-winning artists. Like, you know, last 7 months, she's just like, you know, I just, you know, I got Funky Town. And, you know, I know Aunt Nesby's daughter. I said, Aunt Nesby? I mean, what? So that's all. This is all I'm going to say. I ain't gonna say nothing else to it. I try not to say almost. That's all. I'm done. I'm gonna let y'all have y'all. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Miss DeMonica knows everybody because Miss DeMonica is a woman. She's very sweet and she talks to everybody and everybody just loves her. Her spirit is so nice. People are drawn to Miss DeMonica. So I wouldn't be surprised if she knew Diana Ross.
She probably do sitting there just being all humble and everything. She made me sick. When I seen the email, I'm serious. I saw the email. I wake up at 4:00 every morning. When I saw the email, that's when that flyer, I don't know if your team noticed it, it popped up like at 5:00 in the morning. I'm sorry, like 3:34. I was working on it 4:35. I'm like, no, that don't look right. Let me try it again. Wait. Okay, here we go. Where did I get that picture from? So I was just like, oh my God. And so I was pumped up so bad that I almost freaked out. Had to take my heart medicine, had to take my stress tab. I was like, demonic. I couldn't wait till she woke up at like 11 o'clock. Biggie probably wake her up. And I was like, I just gotta call her. I'm like, do you know what this is? Yeah, you know, that's one of my girlfriends. I'm like, who ain't your girlfriend? So anyway, that's why. I'm done. Because she came out here in November to do a special benefit for the I don't even remember the month. My mind just gone. I was just so excited to talk
the
to
feminine,
me
the
on
feminine
the phone with you. I'm
project.
So sorry. That's it. I'm done. I could not be a part of this powerful woman musical festival because I could see me face. Every time one of them walk past me, they be like, who is that? That's the producer. Don't be paying attention. Y'all get her some smelling salts. She'll be all right. That's it. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm going to go back to the board.
Oh, my goodness. No, there was a benefit that I did in Atlanta for the Feminine Relief Project. So it was for the homeless, the women that have suffered through the hurricane relief project. So we were funding sanitary napkins for the women who survived the hurricane in Texas and also in the Virgin Islands in Florida. So I did benefit for that. And we're still working on things for that for the women, too, because a lot of times people don't know when they hear of, when you're in a situation, emergency situation of a hurricane or whatever disaster, as a woman, you don't have time to think about, let me grab my sanitary products. You're running for your life and trying to find shelter.
Right.
So when they go to the shelters, we found out that the shelters were giving men condoms but weren't giving women sanitary products. So we, WAMRDB, came together and we put together a we put together a fundraiser to supply the women that in the need of you know, disaster relief. So yeah.
Okay.
So I told you I've been working on some major things, but back to you, because you're the star of the show tonight. So at what age did you know you wanted to sing? I know you mentioned at four, and being the daughter of the incomparable, one and only beautiful lady, inside and out, and I had the opportunity to meet and talk to her and sing a couple things with her. It's your mother, Aunt Nesby. So
yes,
you said at 4 years old.
At 4 years old, my grandfather, he is Reverend Perry Bennett, who's one of the largest pastors in Rockford, Illinois, and they put me on a chair to sing at one of their church events. And I, when I stood on that chair and I sang, I knew at that point, I was like, okay, this is great, in my mind as a child, because I knew I could command and I could tell people what to do. I could do stuff. I was like, oh, this is great. Well, if I sat on the chair and I just do what my mom's doing, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So they put me on the chair at 4 years old, and I was singing, and it just went on from there. And I haven't stopped since. I know it was funny because my friends used to be outside playing double dutch and riding their bikes. And we had a big picture window, and my mom used to have me at the piano. And I would be so mad because I would want to be outside with my friends, but she would have me sitting at the piano learning harmonies and all that. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for her doing that with me and training me to walk in her footsteps and then to go on and to do my own thing. So I knew that's what I wanted to do at 4 years old.
Now, I would imagine, you know, coming from, from your mother and your grandfather being into the musical scene here, did you ever feel like you were really pressured or was she strict on you? I mean, I'd just like to know.
Yeah, you know what? I never had that because my whole family was musical. So music was fun. My uncle is Big Jim Wright. He's the music director for Mariah Carey, for a plethora of people. He was for Janet Jackson for a while. So he was the main. We would come over. We would have Sunday dinners. He would come over. My grandmother and grandfather had a piano. So every Sunday when we had dinner, we would sit around the piano and he would make up stuff and we would sing. So music was always fun to us because we were always with family. So I never had any pressure to do music. Music was who we were. So it never was a burden or any pressure. So it was just what we did.
You know, I spoke to other entertainers and musicians as well. Now some of them with similar experiences, but their parents were really strict, you know, and would have that ruler out, smack your hand and say, you hit the wrong note. Or you played the
musical,
so it was never like that.
No, my mother is a comedian. My mother is a comedian. My mother is hilarious. So if I hit a wrong note, she'll be like, oh, what was? And then we'll just crack up, laugh like, uh oh. You know, my mom is really. That's one thing people don't know, that my mom is super, super funny. And even in my own career, when I went off, when I got signed with Mercury Records, my mother did a song with the Sounds of Blackness that she dedicated to me. Because it was talking about the fact of me going away, because I ended up moving to New York and I lived there for 4 years to pursue my career and getting signed with Mercury and going through that whole process. Because I was signed to the record company back in the day when the record company wanted you. So they taught you interviewing skills. They moved you there. They gave you a big advance, and you got a car. You got the whole nine. You were able to work with the producers, meet with them, and you know. So
I was blessed to be able to be in the music business at that time. And my mom really was the big support system in allowing me to go and to spread my wings. And I took my brother with me, and I was only 18 years old. I was 19 actually. And she's my biggest, one of my biggest supporters. So she's always pushed me to do stuff. So yeah, I don't have those stories about it. Even when my mom went on the road, I went with her to sing background. So I was moving with her. So I was learning the business, and then I joined Sounds of Blackness, and that was, and then my mom was in it, and then my aunt, so my mother was in Sounds of Blackness, my Aunt Marie, her sister, my cousin Trinah, my aunt's son played the drums.
Oh, yeah, and then my told me, yeah.
Yeah, and then my Uncle Jimmy played the organ. So we have family on the road, so I've always been surrounded by family and music and us just being silly. So it's been, yeah, never had pressure. It's always just been what we wanted.
I think that's wonderful. You know, honestly, I can see your mother being like that, but like I said, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman. I mean, she inspired me when I first moved up from Chicago to Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
I was performing at the Riverview, and
yeah.
I was doing Gladys Knight, and she said, "Girl, you sung that song." And I'm looking at her like, wait a minute, I cannot believe she said that to me. I'm like, she told me, I was so nervous because I seen her. And Billy Holloman was like, that's the one and only Inez. We walked in. Girl, you should have seen me. I was shaking in my boots, but after a while, I just went on the song. You know, she's like, girl, you sung that song. So I always took it to heart.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
like, what do you want to do here? And she's like, you can do anything you want, Monica. Just follow your dream.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, that's
beautiful
right.
person.
Thank
now,
you.
Now I know you Thank were with Mercury. You're welcome. Yes. You were signed to Mercury Records. Was that the single that you had with Rodeo Style? Was that Rodeo Style at that time for Jason?
Yes.
Lyric?
Yep. I did actually. Rodeo Style came out on Jason's Lyric soundtrack. That was one of the first songs that I had released on my own, which I got a platinum album for. I released that on the soundtrack in 1992, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first soundtrack, and then I went on to do like three other soundtracks from that song.
Oh, did you? Okay. And what other soundtracks did you do after Rodeo Style?
I did the Mo Money soundtrack. Yeah, I did the Mo Money soundtrack with Sounds of Blackness. We did Joy. And then I did Best of Me, which was Shaquille O'Neal's movie, Kazam. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. I used to watch that with my son.
Yep. So the song that came on for the rolling credits, the last song that comes up for the rolling credits, Best of Me, that's my song. I did that song.
Really?
And then, yes, ma'am. And then... what was another one I did? Oh, Black Women United for the movie Posse. When all the women sang on the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was on that one as well. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. You've done more things that I didn't even know that you've done. You know,
I've been truly a blessing. And then working with Jimmy and Terry for 10 years, I've been blessed. I have about 20 plaques on my wall from working with different artists, being on their project, doing their background, or which is my specialty. I love doing background, or either writing or doing vocal composing from the likes of Jonathan Butler. I have two Janet Jackson platinum albums. I did the Janet album and the Decade album. And I'm on, let me see, Usher, not 902, the Usher album, Johnny Gill, Shaggy,
you
Luther Vandross, Rod Stewart, Sting.
Really?
I got, you know, just to name a few of them. But yeah, I've been really, really blessed in this industry and being staying focused and really eat, sleep, and drinking it. That's the only thing with the music business. If you want to be super, super successful at it, to where you are owning your own things, you have to eat, sleep, and drink it.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. So okay. You're saying that I have a promise of being a backup singer for various people. So if I mm-hmm. can just make my way in there, I can do my me stuff.
Yep.
You have really inspired me, Miss Bennett. You really have. I'm gonna go forward with that. I don't mean to jump into y'all conversation like that, but listen, I listen to Man For Me. Girl,
yes.
I thought I was gonna shout.
Thank you.
We got to play it. I don't even know what to say to anybody. I'm just sorry. I just I heard the word backup singer and then I heard the songs. I'm like, out of all the backup things, I know the Shazam thing, but the Man For Me thing. I'm sorry. You ever hear a song, your toes start twitching, both of your big toe and your the middle toe get to squeaking back and forth. I said, Lord, she about to turn it off. That's it. That's
oh
all. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But we got I know you're busy and I know you got a lot of stuff going on and I know y'all going chopping it up. And all of that, and I know you said you got like two things going on at the same time. So I know, you know, the Monica is just so, you know, so politically correct about stuff. Me personally, nah. We need to get. We need to play because I know you got to go soon. I'm just saying because I wanted to hear. I heard it.
Thank
I heard
you.
It after
Thank
you know,
you.
Just like I was
I
like.
Thank you so much for playing.
I mean, that should be. We should paint that word on our bras and just get up and be like, wait, you're not the man. What? Stop. I'm sorry. I was just so inspired by it. Child, whatever. I'd rather be. My big auntie told me, she said, she was like 81 when she passed away. She said, I said you can get remarried and that's Auntie Ellen. I'm like, no, Jesus is my boyfriend. I said, but God, Auntie, Jesus is your boyfriend.
Okay.
She said, Jesus is my boyfriend. And I'm like, especially in Atlanta, you better get Jesus for your boyfriend with these down low brothers.
Uh-huh.
You better get Jesus for your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Jesus is the man. That's the man for her.
That was, right. he was for that. What? That's all. That's it. I'm sorry. Y'all can go ahead. Go ahead and do the little proper thing.
Well, actually, we're going to do a formal introduction since the producer is on the line. So, Karima, introduce the song. We're going to play that, and we'll be back shortly. Karima, introduce the song, and we're going to get started. You're all high five.
Karima, introduce our song. Miss Demetria, could you introduce your song, please?
Yes. So, getting ready to play is Man For Me, my new single that is now getting added, that just got added. So, shout out to just talking about, you may be a good man, you're just not the man for me. Right here on Atlanta Mix Radio.
That's right. WAMR-TV.
Thank you. living not for me,
for just not for me.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Monica D. Fly with WAMRDB, the woman's station. And I'm telling you, you just got through listening to The Man For Me. Girl, was you singing that with the one and only Jamecia Bennett on the line.
Thank you. Hey, I got
you
somebody.
I'm sorry.
Y'all didn't listen to the words. She said you the man for me. No, not the man for me. She said, I'm sorry, but you ain't the man for me. Your credit is bad. You ain't got no job. You driving a raggedy car. You got 10 baby mamas. You know what I'm saying? And your hair and your feet look bad. I can't do this. Now, it's nice that you love me, but baby, you need to love on yourself. That's what she did in the night, and then when she screamed, I'm like, I can't do it, but I ain't want to blow y'all out. I want to impress y'all with my vocals. But anyway,
I got somebody that wants to say hello to you guys. Listen.
Hey, Queen Demonica, how you doing?
Hey, who's this on the line? Wait a minute.
This is someone who is proud to call Jamecia goddaughter.
All right now, yes, honey. Got to be proud of that, most definitely.
Yeah, this is Gary from Sounds of Blackness.
I know it is.
Her Sounds of Blackness fan, we are so proud of her. Thank you for supporting her.
You already know. Yes.
I know, but we don't take it for granted.
Right. You're right about that.
Thank you.
You're absolutely right. Thank you. And thank you.
I told him that
the beautiful music that you put together for us. You surprised me on that one, Gary. That was a surprise here. That's the one and only Gary Hines found the blackness on the vine.
I know who he is. I'm about to faint. I'm sorry. Hey, Gary. Oh,
hey,
my goodness.
How you doing?
Okay, we good. I can't run the board no more. It's it. This is why I can't be at none of y'all convention. I can't do it. I'm good.
Listen, nothing Jamecia does should surprise you. She's just a force of nature.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, most definitely.
I let him know that you was trying to audition.
Did Karina try on this?
Me? Oh, bless you.
You said you were
supposed
to be
okay.
Me.
I was.
Karina can't even talk now. Demetria, I'm going to bring it now. You're on the line right now with the one and only Gary Hines. You're auditioning the producer here.
Oh, Lord.
I was trying to sing between two people first. you know, like do the backup singing, like between two of the better singers, so that my voice could, you know, respond cake through all of the, you know, that. That's what I was trying to do.
You were singing between us.
Gary, I know this is really proud of you. This woman is super busy. I hope I didn't get her in trouble tonight by having her on the show, because I know she's supposed to be at rehearsal as well.
No, she's the queen of multitasking. She not only simultaneously did your interview to the nine, but a part of two or three rehearsals literally down the hall from each other at the same time. I'm not exaggerating, I promise.
Do you have two or three rehearsals going on right now?
I had two. Yes, I have one for Twin Cities Girls Rock, the show that we're doing here this Sunday, where we are honoring some of Twin Cities' finest women as well. It's also got some performers that are performing. My beautiful daughter Paris Bennett is performing. Thomasina Petrus is performing. Jenna Nyberg, another lady by the name of Erin Schwab. We are so excited to do this show. We're honoring these women here, and next year we're trying to do it annually. This is the first time they've ever done it here in the Twin Cities, and I'm really excited about it. Yeah. So, and then we're Sounds of Blackness is doing the diversity for the Minnesota Twins. So I was in rehearsal for that, because we're doing doing the diversity event for the Minnesota Twins here.
Oh, really?
Second, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. August 22nd. So you have to let the listeners know now. We have listeners all over the world that's listening in now. Let them know what the dates are, what city, and the times, if you have the times available.
For the events, August 19th, we are at the History Theater here in the Twin Cities. August 22nd, we are at the Twins Stadium doing the diversity event. And then I leave August 27th. I'll be out on tour from August 27th to October 3rd. I'll be on tour doing Sisters United with Avery Sun. I'm doing background for Avery Sunshine, Yolanda Adams,
really?
Stephanie Mills, Shantae Moore, MC Light, and the Bonnet Chronicles. Tammy Roman is coming in on the weekends to give us comedy. But yeah, my best friend and I are doing the background for all of these amazing women. Keisha Jackson, which is Millie Jackson's daughter, we usually team up on background vocals for like Erykah Badu or my mother or whoever. So they called us both, and now we're doing this. They put us on this tour to back these women, and I'm excited. So I'm just moving around, y'all, learning music at home on the Dropbox.
It's a Dropbox night. You can do all kinds of stuff on Dropbox, multiple files and all that. Man, technology, something else.
Yes, it is.
And what was the name of the tour again that you're starting with? Sisters what? Sisters Unite, right?
Sisters United.
Sisters United. Wow.
Yeah,
I love
Sisters United.
And everybody that you mentioned on, I love all of them.
And speaking of Stephanie Mills, my daughter is leaving this weekend. She's doing the tribute to Stephanie Mills for her Lifetime Achievement Award that they're doing. And they called Paris a couple of days ago and asked her, would she come in and do a special performance for Stephanie and do home? Because, you know, she played Dorothy in The Wiz. So Paris played Dorothy in The Wiz. So they asked her to come and do the special performance for Stephanie Mills. So, you know, things are just moving and happening. It's a blessing.
Yes, it is. Now, getting to that, too, with Paris, I mean, how did she start? I mean, she just looking after her grandmother and mother. I know that had to be hard, or you just fell right through with that with her. Is that right?
Yeah.
You said, I'm just going to start singing, or?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like a natural thing with us. It just kind of goes from generation to generation. You know, we just, you know, she just came right up in it. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis brought her in when she was 7 and had her record the demo for the Atlanta Olympics. And she got the taste of that. And that was it. And then she, you know, and then I started recording her in my home studio, and then she started opening up
for a lot of acts that would come to town, like Lloyd Banks, Bow Wow, when he was here, she opened up for him. She opened up for what's the young man? I can't think of the gentleman's name. One of the other young guys performed. I know the Yin Yang Twins. She opened up for them. So then that started happening. Then she ended up continuing to do that. We were pushing her more. And then my mom, she went to go visit my mom, and my mom took her to the actual American Idol audition, and she got it. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And she threw down on there, too. Man, she did.
Yeah, she made it all the way to number five.
Like, you know what? She was too good for the Idol. That's what I said. She threw down on there.
Thank you.
Yes.
We said it, too. Yeah.
I know you're very proud of her. And
I am.
Is Mr. Hines still on the line?
Yes, he is.
Okay. I have the incomparable, wonderful Mr. Gary Hines. Gary, with this beautiful woman that's on the line here, when did you meet her? How did you come about the one and only Miss Jamecia?
Well, you know what? I'll condense it because that's a long history. The history with the Bennett family and precedes even the Sounds of Blackness, believe it or not. I mean, and I'm proud to say it goes back to the 60s. And I'll tell you how quickly. Her auntie Marie, of course, her great mom, and rest her soul, sister Mama Bennett, and the great Reverend Perry Bennett. We, long story short, we were sister churches between. You remember the old Sabathany Baptist in South Minneapolis, Sabathany, and Macedonia, and Joliet. I know they relocated to Rockwood, but in the early years, actually, was in Joliet. And we would exchange back in the mid late 60s. 1 year we would go there. You know, Sabathia would, you know, caravan several cars. You know, 100 people. And then the next year they would come. You know, here to Minneapolis. So that was before Sounds of Blackness was even thought about in the 60s, kind of thing. So that background was there. And my goodness, Mama Bennett, you know, would just set churches on fire with her voice. And Papa Bennett, Reverend Perry Bennett, still does at or near 90, 84 years old, excuse me, yeah. And, of course, Ann and Marie were crazy then, you know. And then, just lighting up everything back then, just the consistency. And next thing we know, here comes Jamecia. and so to get to the heart of your question, when Jamecia actually – she was only 17 when we were out, like, with the late, great Luther Vandross. And sometimes, you know, we would go into adult venues and all that. We literally have to sneak her in, you know, baby girl kind of thing, because she's such an integral part of the group and still is to this day. So I know that's a long answer to your question, but a lot of times people think, you know, that the relationship, you know, started, you know, with our great brother Jam and Lewis, but it actually predated them and actually predated Sounds of Blackness.
Yes, I just, you know, that's the history right there. So she just got it naturally. She just blessed to have it all around naturally.
The entire family is just anointed in many ways, but certainly gifted vocally, musically. It's really phenomenal. I can't think of a better word. It really is, you know, from every generation and continues now to Paris and on down to Egypt. Don't make no sense. No, but I'm laughing, but it's true.
Right. Oh, I know that. I know you're so proud of her. Like my song, Fly Away.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Fly Again, yes.
Fly Again, yes. I'm sorry. I apologize to reiterate on that one. And I've heard that song, and I just fell in love with it. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You guys really did a phenomenal job. I know you're really proud of her.
Extraordinarily, extremely, exceptionally proud, you know, because Jamecia is just a multiple talented artist. I mean, everything from singer, songwriter, producer, actor, director, She's, you know, directed at Penumbra. I mean, and with Sounds of Blackness and beyond. Producer, entrepreneur. She's got her own company with Minnesota Movement. I mean, you know, that's a whole interview by itself, just in terms of outlaying and outlining, you know, her different talents and endeavors, and all of them successful. A mentor, you know, not only obviously mom to Paris, but the way she mentors her, and then so many other youth artists, dance choreography. I mean, I'm telling you, the list just goes on and on. It's just truly amazing.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a true story.
What an honor. Multi-talented right there. The one and only we have. Three-time winner, the one and only Miss Demetria Bennett. Now, the producer's going to pull up another song here. You're listening to WAMRDB, the meeting in the ladies' room, and I'm Dee Fly, and I have the one and only Demetria Bennett on the line, as well as the one and only Sounds of Blackness, Mr. Gary Hines. What an honor to have you on the show this evening, Gary. You sure surprised me. We're going to play another song by Demetria here.
Excellent. Thank you for supporting her. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, Gary.
The love I have for you is very special. You blow me away.
That's right, we're back to WAYC in the ladies' room. It's Monica Fly, deep live, with the one and only Demetria Bennett on the line. I'm having some computer glitches here, so I do apologize. Dear Demetria, you're on the line still with us?
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm having some computer glitches here. I don't know what's actually going on, so I have to wing things, and then I have the producers that have to lead us through this for a moment, okay? But I want to thank you for coming on the show. We're still doing the show.
The show that we just played
a moment ago, very special. When was that? When did you do that?
I did that song when I was 18 years old, and I was signed to Mercury Records. Yes, ma'am.
Karima will dig up some stuff on somebody and play. I'm telling you, she will dig out some stuff that she'll be like, what? I didn't know I did this. I didn't know I looked like this.
I was listening. I was like, who is that? I was like, oh, my God, that's me. Where'd she get that from? I've heard that before. Yes, I was 18 years old, signed with Mercury Records when I did that. I wrote and produced that song.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you play any musical instruments?
Yes, I do. I play drums and I play congas, and I play piano by ear.
Stop! Excuse me. And you already know. People like me and my cousins don't know what no Congo or Congo or whatever you said. Now, I need you to explain that in black folk language. What that mean that you play it on? So, what you say? What? Things like, what you say? You just went past.
What's that called?
Like the tall standing bongos.
Now we got it. I just wanted to make sure, because I know I got my listeners to be like, what is she talking about? Where was that? I'm like, what's she talking about? She playing?
Yes.
So I'm just saying, you know, we got different kind of listening audience. So I got people like, I can't believe what? So this is a tall Congo, like from the African Congo, like when we was seeing those drums before them folks snatched us and brought us over here. I got you. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. That's when we was beating that thing. Run y'all tails as quick as you can out of the. Like, stay away from the water. Stay away from the ocean.
Run to the jungle.
Exactly, okay.
They use drums to speak languages. So drum beats speak languages. So you're absolutely right. And some of the sounds were made like that to give information because they couldn't speak and they didn't have telephones or cell phones, so they use drums to do that as well as songs as well too. So you're absolutely right. Yeah.
I be knowing stuff. Don't nobody believe that, but I be knowing a couple things. Maybe you know a couple years of college teach you a little bit. You got to go to the colonial school to understand what they're talking about.
Oh yeah,
and she'd be like, I wish
they would teach more of it. I wish they would really teach more of it in the schools, because they would. I mean, it would definitely change the game, especially for music, especially in some of these music schools. You know, I teach. I mean, they go. You know, they definitely go for the digital world and all of that. But learning the basics would give them more foundation. They'll have more substance in their music if they understood the history of it. Mm-hmm.
Who are you talking about?
That's true.
Who is they?
Young
people.
Young
people.
Right.
The students that
keep that money flowing in. Don't follow what Karima got to say. All of them is us and all of that. I ain't gonna do the Trump on y'all. I understand. I like Very Special. I did. I was like, oh, okay. It's a lot out there.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, but I just wanted to let folks know
that,
you know, I didn't know you was 18. So, I mean, you just became legal doing that one. I got you.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that is funny because when I released that, when I released that project, that's kind of what happened with me with Mercury Records. I was so young and my voice was so mature. They really didn't know how to market me because I was writing so maturely, and they just didn't know, they didn't know what to do with me, because if back when I was signed, Mary J. Blige had got signed at the same time. Uptown Records had just hit the scene, and Jodeci was out at the same time. And when I came to the scene, Uptown Records came to Mercury and asked for a bid on me to do a bidding war with me to see if they could buy me from Mercury Records. And once they saw that Uptown wanted me, because Uptown was hot. They had Jodeci, they Mary, all these, you know, new.
Heavy
once they saw that Uptown wanted me, instead of letting me go so that they could probably do something more with me, because they had more of the soul thing happening over there, because some of the gentlemen that I had actually did that project with, and actually my project with Mercury Records, including Rodeo Style, he was actually producing a lot of music for Mary J. Blige and Jodeci. So when they saw that Uptown had interest in me, they kept me, because they figured that, she must be worth something. We got to keep her. But they kept me and didn't know what to do with me. And then what happened was the owner of Mercury Records ended up passing away. And so it went down to his son. And then his son didn't want it anymore. So a lot of us, and I was signed with Joe, the singer Joe. And I was signed with Black Sheep and Beanie Man. I don't know if you guys remember the reggae guy, Beanie Man.
I know Beanie Man.
And I was signed with who else? Vanessa Williams and Donna Summers and Brian McKnight. So once Ed Eckstein, Billy Eckstein. When Billy Eckstein passed away, he went to his son Ed, and Ed really wasn't interested in music. He ended up giving it to another A&R, and that A&R had songs, had people of his own. So he ended up shelving myself and Joe and Black Sheep, and so that his artists could come and do their thing. And but it was a blessing. It was a blessing because if I hadn't. I was sharing with my musical dad. I call him Dad Gary, but I was sharing with him. Hadn't that happened for me, I probably wouldn't have never had my children. I probably would never be in the positions that I'm in and blessed with. You know, I probably would be in a whole different era of life. But everything happens for a reason, and what God has for you definitely is for you. And He knows in His timing, and in His timing only, will you be where I need you to be. And I needed to be where I was, and I needed to be where I am today. So I'm excited. I'm excited for what happened then to bring me to where I am now. Yeah.
That's true, because, you know, some things we now that we're older, we wanted it now, and we want it right then, you know. And as you say, sometimes, you know, things take a little bit longer. Like with me, I'm being blessed with being, I have an opportunity to represent WAMR-TV, the women's station. We have big things coming up that we'll be discussing. It's such an honor to have you on, and God is just moving obstacles for me. And I'm telling you, it just wasn't my time back then. I signed a bad recording contract, too, back in 91. Where I did a song with Dennis Edwards and Eddie Kendrick on the Get It While It's Hot album, and my album was to be released shortly after that. So I know what you're speaking of. So, but you learn from that. And then I tell the young people, just as yourself, they don't understand what a contract consists of. With that one little clause, you can mess your whole life up on that one little clause. And that's the thing that they're not learning either. These young people, they're out so quick to put music out, they don't really know the business side of it. You know, now that you have Pro Tools, you got, you know, you can just do everything from home. They don't understand the business part of it. But
I just
wanted to say it's been an honor to have you on here. I did not know that you have done so many things. I've been researching, and it's just a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, wow.
We have a few minutes left. I know, Karima, do you have anything else to say? Or we have any callers that's on the line? We have a lot of listeners. We have so many listeners that the lines are jammed up. So, listeners, once again, you listen to the one and only Jamecia Bennett, three-time award-winning, Grammy Award-winning singer, performer, artist, actress, and getting ready to go on the road and have her new hit single, Man For Me. Tell the audience how they can receive the music, how they can follow you. Let them know how they can follow your information.
Absolutely.
And purchase your music.
Mm-hmm. They can follow me on Facebook. Everything is under my name, so there's no question that you cannot find me. I am on Facebook under Jamecia Bennett. I am under Instagram, Jamecia Bennett, as well as Twitter. My album you can find on all digital available. It's available on all digital sites, from iTunes, SoundCloud, Amazon Music. You can find it anywhere. Anywhere you can get digital music, Google Play, it's on there. So it's easy to find me. Jamecia Bennett, JameciaBennett.
That's right. That's the one and only Jamecia Bennett. We want to thank you, Jamecia, for coming on, meeting in the ladies' room. I'm Dee Fly, WAMRDD, and the producer thanks you as well. We love you, and we'll continue to play your music. And we thank you so much.
Too.
You have a good evening. Get back to your rehearsals, girl, because you're the busiest girl that I know that's in show business. And God bless you. And
God bless you,
too. God bless
him,
and thank you so much. He shocked me, girl. I couldn't even speak when he came
online. God bless you. Thank you. Keep supporting Jamecia.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. You have a good evening. Thank you for listening to WAMRDB, Meeting in the Ladies' Room. I'm Dee Fly and Karima. We're out. We love you. Peace and love.
You're just not the man.
You're just not the man.
So much for first impressions. You won't give up again. No, all you got is mine. I'll take my sympathy and wonder if I kiss for me. Cause the world does not let me be.
Women around the world use sanitary napkins and tampons every day, knowing little to nothing about the harmful and potentially dangerous materials used to manufacture them. Because of this, millions of women are forced to suffer in silence. In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration does not require companies to list the ingredients contained in sanitary napkins and tampons. Yet the average woman uses more than 15,000 sanitary napkins or uses tampons for more than 100,000 hours over her lifetime.
You really don't know what's in it. I mean, I don't think any of us really know, especially, you know, some of the new pads that maybe have a spongy type texture that's supposed to hold more. Well, what exactly is that? What's that made out of? We don't know. So then there's questions of how does that affect our health? You know, with things coming out that, you know, baby powder and talc are dangerous and cause ovarian cancer, what other things are we exposing our very sensitive areas too that could end up being a problem later on.
Internationally, it's even worse. A recent report from UNICEF and the World Health Organization cites that at least 500 million girls and women globally lack adequate facilities for managing their periods. In most schools, girls have to trek to the nurse's office to ask for a pad or tampon, as if menstruating is an illness rather than a natural function. In some parts of the world, girls simply drop out of school once they start menstruating. The manufacturing process of these menstrual aids has been known to cause serious damage to the environment. The toxic byproducts of producing tampons include poisons like dioxin and furan. In fact, conventional sanitary pads can contain the equivalent of about 4 plastic bags. Synthetics and plastic restrict airflow and trap heat and dampness, potentially promoting yeast and bacteria growth in a woman's vaginal area. Conventional sanitary pads can also contain other potentially hazardous ingredients, such as odor neutralizers and fragrances. How do tampons and pads get that ultra-white, clean look? Usually chlorine bleach, which can also create toxic dioxin and other disinfection byproducts. According to an EPA draft report, dioxin is a serious public health threat that has no safe level of exposure. To make matters worse, tampons create a favorable environment for bacterial growth.
Certainly there's a lot of plastic involved with pads and the issues with tampons and the history. You have to be careful with toxic shock syndrome and stuff just because of...
A source close to Aretha Franklin's family tells CBS News this morning the legendary singer is very ill. Franklin, who is 76, has battled health problems for several years now. Vladimir Duty of our streaming network CBSN is in Detroit, where the Queen of Soul's hometown is now rallying around her. Vlad, good morning. This is very sad news today.
It is very sad. Good morning, Gail. This is the church where a star was born around 6 decades ago. Aretha Franklin's father was a pastor here. In fact, this street right in front of me is named for him. She grew up singing for the congregation, and she continued to be involved in the church even after she became a household name. And now New Bethel Baptist Church is coming together for their beloved Aretha.
Hello.
Aretha Franklin discovered her legendary voice here. At the New Bethel Baptist Church in Detroit, where her father was a minister.
Aretha is not only my daughter, Aretha is just a stone singer.
Even as her music style changed, her gospel roots stayed with her.
Without Aretha, the church wouldn't still be here.
Pastor Robert Smith Jr. says the New Bethel Baptist Church is praying for Franklin after learning she is seriously ill. A source close to the family told CBS News Monday that Franklin is at home in hospice care. She had been battling health issues in recent years. Celebrities and politicians reacted to the news of Aretha's poor health Monday. Praying for the Queen of Soul, singer Mariah Carey tweeted. Hillary and I are thinking about Aretha Franklin tonight, President Bill Clinton wrote. At a concert in Detroit Monday night, Beyonce and Jay-Z dedicated their show to Franklin. DJ Khaled, opening for them, paid tribute to Franklin by getting the crowd to sing Respect. Even as Franklin's star rose, she never forgot where she came from. Just weeks ago, Pastor Smith says she contacted him about performing at the church's annual benefit concert.
Asking God to continue this miracle because it's great that she's made it this long.
In 2017, Detroit honored Franklin by naming a street after her. Many of those attending the Beyonce concert last night had to actually cross that street to get there. Here at New Bethel, parishioners will hold an early morning vigil service for Franklin tomorrow, Biana.
The country and the world really pulling for the Queen of Soul, right? What an impact she's had.
Prayers all over the world, all over the countries, and I know that prayer works, so let's hope that this turns out in a very good way.
We know she's a fighter.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Sure.
Definitely is.
Without a word of warning, the blues walked in this morning and circled around my lonely room.
So you guys, welcome back to WAMRDB, and on behalf of the WAMRDB family, we definitely want to send out our prayers to the family that they will trust God for what he said he would do. And I'm sure as an artist, Demonica, you know, has been a person that has respected her through the years and singing some of her songs. This is something that, like I told you earlier, I kind of just left for a moment while driving here in Atlanta, based on what you and I were talking about, because just the ideal of the queen of what we know in our decades and in our history to be in a hospice right now. It just kind of takes you back. It's almost like, just having a mother or a sister or auntie, more of like an auntie or a sister that is, hanging on. And so I just wanted to, share with people how much that meant to us, because she opened doors for women. She opened the doors for women to have radio stations, businesses, because how she conducted herself. Do you agree? Okay, so she might not be here. But again, we're out of here at the meeting in the ladies' room with D-Fly with our guest, Jamecia Bennett. So definitely just want to keep our prayers in place for the queen herself. on how to just be a queen at all times. That's all I can say. So we're out of here. We want to thank everybody for tuning to WMRDB. You're listening to Singing a Blue. Today.
I know the explanation, but to me that's no consolation. No, no, it just goes to show you. Yes, I just walk the darkest ever knew. Yesterday, this time I sang a love song, but today my story's a little different. People, I'm singing the blues.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
The new look and feel of radio.